This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wrap it up. Redskins win, Redskins lose. If. Got to thank our friends at Rethink Water for the crisp, delicious water. Max Scherzer's Rethink Water and the Chesapeake Bay Foundation have teamed up to strike out plastic. Visit Rethink Water on Facebook to learn how you can get involved. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan. So we've given you a script for a Redskins win, script for a Redskins loss. Number one, they don't stop Ezekiel Elliott. Number two, they allow Dak Prescott to make plays off schedule where defensively they are at their worst. If you get home, you don't get him to the ground, a la Carson Wentz. He's going to torch you. Number three, they give up a huge play in the passing game. The good news here is that the Cowboys don't make many of those. They had a 70-plus yard screen to Elliott. That's about what they've got. If you look at Dez Bryant, he doesn't get separation, doesn't really have explosive speed down the sideline anymore. Jason Witten's not running away from anybody. I guess Terrence Williams on a busted coverage could be the guy. Maybe Cole Beasley on a catch and run middle of the field. I don't see a 60, 70-yard reception going for a touchdown, though. I just don't see that.
Yeah, I'm probably with you. Unless it's a broken coverage or a kind of a scramble play, the Carson Wentz school, you know, of two dodges and one broken tackle and then, like, you know, someone's behind the defense. But I'm with you. They don't really draw it up that way. To me, the biggest thing is third down. What do you do on third down? Can you get them off the football field? They're going to be third and longs. Third and one, they're converting that. They're really good at that. They've got a big bruising son of a gun behind the line of scrimmage. They've got read option plays. They got plenty at their disposal. You ain't stopping Dallas on third and one. They've got too many options, and all of them are good. Whereas the Redskins have no good options on third and one. They should pretend it's third and seven. Then they would convert it twice as much. Anyway, there will be third and longs. You lost the first game because you couldn't get off the field. Last year, talking about. There are going to be moments where you've got them. You were dreadful against Philadelphia on third and long. You were dreadful on third down against Philly. If you're good in this game on third down, I'm talking you hold them to 4 for 12 or 5 for 15, somewhere in there, you got a shot at this thing. Because they're going to have too many plays, too many times where that you'll get defeated. That first down, they'll rip off 7, 8 yards, easily convert onto the next, onto the next, onto the next. There will be a time, almost every drive, where there is a moment, whether it's a false start, a bad penalty by them, a negative play, somebody runs the wrong thing, they don't get a check, you get a sack, whatever the hell it is, third down and long is the key right for this defense.
I would also say when they have the football, you cannot allow this 5-6 sack, 4 pressures that lead to 2 lost fumbles in the pocket kind of performance. I don't care if your offensive line is in shambles, which it was at the end of the Philly game when Kirk Cousins was under siege. You cannot allow his arm to be hit in the middle of a throw that leads to a pick. By the way, his arm got hit on 2 throws, both of which were almost interceptions, if you remember, in the game. The other one happened much earlier.
Right.
On near the sideline, and it was a incompletion, luckily, but it very easily could have been a pick.
And the commentators were like, is that a fumble? The answer was no, obviously.
Yeah, it went 13 yards downfield on a spiral, probably not. The point is, please do not allow defenders to hit the quarterback's arm while he is in the motion of passing, and thank you. All right, let's go around the NFL. Let's look at some of the best games of the weekend. Pick our favorites. I'll nominate the Texans and the Seahawks in Seattle. This is a 4-2 Seattle team hosting a 4-3 Houston club. It's got one of the hottest quarterbacks in the league. But Deshaun Watson, you have not taken a course like this one, buddy. We're about to find out what you're made of with those 15 touchdowns. On the road, loud environment, raucous atmosphere, frenzied fan base, great defense. The Legion of Boomed. Are they still called that? I don't know.
They still get to be that.
As a 12, I think Deshaun's going to have a tough day. Good luck, Watson. Lamar Miller better help you. DeAndre Hopkins. I don't love him in fantasy this week. Seahawks have been shutting down number ones. Other than him, really, Will Fuller's about all they got in the passing game on the outside right now. Russell Wilson's come along. Despite all the injuries in their backfield, the Seahawks are playing their best football this season. It looks like Doug Baldwin has taken over as a true number one again, and he's in sync with Russell Wilson. I think Seattle wins, but this is going to be a really competitive, quality game. Two teams, different conferences, who both are going to make playoff noise potentially. 4:05 kickoff on CBS. I believe this is your Tony Romo, Jim Nance game.
There you have it. Oakland or Buffalo. This is a little bit of the Departed game here. And I mean, what we deal here is deception. What we don't deal with is self-deception. We know who you are. We know who you're not. Who is Oakland? Who is Buffalo? Is Buffalo for realsies? Is Oakland the team that started to play better after a couple ugly performances in a row? Not having Marshawn Lynch this week, I think may actually be a blessing in disguise. Get back to what brung you last year to get you 12 wins. Oakland on the road, a 2.5-point dog in this one. Buffalo's defense has been, I would say, well above expectations at this stage. You know what they are on offense at the Shady McCoy show with the occasional Tyrod Taylor scramble and kind of downfield pass to somebody you haven't heard of. Oakland, their bread is butter on the outside. They need to get back to that Amari Cooper headache coming out party this past week. I'm intrigued by that matchup because something to prove for both teams. Buffalo's been okay before and then tapered off. Can they kind of keep hanging around, Counting Crows style? That's a matchup I'm excited about.
Here's one I'm enticed by, and I shouldn't be, to be completely honest. Falcons-Jets.
I'm interested in that game.
Atlanta's 3-3. The Jets are 3-4. This game's going to be played at the Meadowlands in East Rutherford. The Falcons have lost 3 in a row. They're not playing like last year's Super Bowl rep from the NFC or a team that was looking like it was en route to a division championship at all right now. The Jets are way better than people thought. McCown's given them a chance. They can't run the ball with Bilal Powell, but Elijah McGuire has really helped step up their running game. Robbie Anderson questionable this week with Jermaine Kearse, with Jeremy Curley, gives them a three-headed option at wide receiver, all of whom are producing. And Austin Seferian Jenkins, their tight end, is a red zone threat. That's enough bodies coming at you in the passing game that you got to worry a little bit if you are Atlanta. Here's my guess. Mm-hmm. The Falcons beat the Jets, and they do so in a 27-17 variety that gets us back to a point where we feel okay about Atlanta. But if New York can somehow either play a very close game and or surprise Atlanta, then the Jets all of a sudden are going to be the talk of football on Monday because they will at that time, at the midway point, be right around in that 500 mix when everyone thought they were going to be picking first in the draft.
Carolina, Tampa Bay, an NFC South football game that has to be played. Tampa is coming apart at the seams. They are fraying group. You've got T.J. Ward saying, I don't know why I'm not playing, and Chris Baker retweeting him and saying, me either. Their offense isn't particularly good, even though it should be great. Defensively, they have a bunch of young playmakers. They should be much, much better than they are. They've been a disaster. Carolina, meanwhile, they sputter a little bit. Every time you think they've arrived, they've got something, take a couple steps back. Christian McCaffrey hasn't had 5 yards in a carry over his last 22 rushes. They need to find a way to get him in space and get him going. It's still kind of the same old, all right, fine, Cam Newton under assault. I'll stand back there, pat the ball for a few extra seconds, and throw a laser downfield to a really slow and pudgy wide receiver. This Carolina team needs to seize control and be who they are, and Tampa Bay can go back down in the toilet. So this is a game where Tampa Bay is trying to save their season and kind of salvage things. Carolina needs to take a big step forward.
I said that the Dolphins would beat the Ravens last night. They lost 40-0.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe take this next comment and just throw it out the window.
Yeah.
I feel like the Chargers are going to play the Patriots really tight on Sunday. 1 o'clock kick in New England. Foxborough, temperature is going to be about mid-60s. It's going to be super comfortable and a reasonable day for throwing the football around. And that's why I think Phillip Rivers with Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, Tyrell Williams, Travis Benjamin in that passing game are going to make enough plays to hang with the Patriots. Melvin Gordon out of the backfield catches a few passes, going to pick up some yardage. By the way, he's had a down year as a rusher. He's averaging 3.4 per carry.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Austin Eckler's averaging like 5.5 as their number two back. Mike Gillisley's doing nothing when he's not carrying the ball at the goal line. Deion Lewis seems to have replaced him as the main option among ball carrying in New England's offense. Patriots are going to win the game. But this feels 30-26 to me. This feels like one of your typical fourth quarter, Chargers have a shot, and then after the fact, they're explaining why the last few minutes got away from them type games.
I got to make a play or two.
I think it's going to be good.
Pittsburgh on the road at the Detroit Lions. Detroit, hard luck losers a couple times. Remember, they lost that game to the Saints that they probably kind of won, but Golden Tate was in the end zone, but then maybe he wasn't.
Are the Lions okay or are the Lions bad?
I don't know. There's so many teams that are in the Lions bucket of the maybe they're good. Yeah, but they're going to be without a couple players on the offensive line. Pittsburgh may have a feeding frenzy getting after the quarterback, the third best pass rush team, at least in terms of sacks achieved. The Pittsburgh Steelers know who they are. It's give the ball to Antonio Brown when Le'Veon Bell gets out of breath. That's what they're going to do. I think Pittsburgh goes on the road and wins against Detroit, but don't be surprised if Detroit does a couple things. I bet you Pittsburgh gets a lead. Matt Stafford does a couple type things, and they find a way to lose at the end because they're very Detroit-y.
Those are your candidates for game of the weekend. Danny, you get to pick one. You only get to watch one. You got to rake the leaves the rest of the day. What is it?
Oh, man. I get one game? Give me Houston-Seattle. I want to see the kid go up against that defense.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.